Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, July 6th. The Gutzler Fire in Eagle County has grown to over 850 acres. According to the Denver Post, the fire has nearly tripled in size since it began Saturday, starting at around 130 acres and growing to now over 850. Smoke from the fire was so extreme in some places that the Colorado Department of Health and Environment issued a health advisory Tuesday. And in Summit County, a shift in the wind prevented a fast-growing wildfire from moving into the town of Breckenridge. The Peak 2 fire was spotted before noon yesterday, roughly 4 miles north of Breckenridge. By the time firefighters reached the area an hour later, flames had spread to the tops of trees in the heavily wooded area. The blaze prompted the evacuation of about 450 homes, and residents and visitors of the resort town were put on notice that they might have to leave. Hotshot firefighters and smoke jumpers, as well as local fire departments, monitored the blaze overnight. Evacuations will be re-evaluated at noon today. Recreational marijuana is now more expensive in Colorado. That's because lawmakers increased a special tax on pot from 10 to 15%. It was a part of a larger compromise to prevent funding cuts to rural hospitals. Benta Berkland looks at how recreational marijuana tax revenue has become a crucial part of state budgeting and what the money can and can't be used for.
Colorado was the first state to allow recreational marijuana sales, and more than 3 years later, there is still a lot of misunderstanding about marijuana money. Amanda Gagnon is 29 and works as a waitress in Denver. During the legislative session, we asked residents if they would back a proposed sales tax increase for roads and infrastructure. Here's what she said.
I feel like they've gotten so much money from all the, you know, new income that they're getting from all of the marijuana. I don't know what they need more money for.
Taxes from marijuana brought in just over $100 million last year. And to be clear, it does not go to fix roads. It's largely spent in areas explicitly approved by voters, such as schools, social programs, law enforcement, and public health outreach. Democratic Representative Jonathan Singer of Longmont helped write the marijuana tax code.
If you're trying to solve a $9 billion issue with your roads, a $1 billion issue with our K-12 system, marijuana can't do that by itself, and that's probably one of the most dangerous parts of what the marijuana tax actually did, is it gave people the sense that they could get all the services that they needed without actually having to maybe sacrifice a little bit more of their own hard-earned dollars.
But Singer adds that it's still a remarkable opportunity.
To pay for things that we have never had the opportunity to do. Whether it's drug and alcohol treatment programs, whether it's housing programs, they don't need billions of dollars. They can actually make things work with millions of dollars.
But what about extra money that doesn't have a specific allocation? This year, lawmakers debated a proposal from Governor John Hickenlooper to use $15 million in pot tax dollars to help the chronically homeless. Even though that money stayed in the budget, many Republicans, including Senate President Kevin Grantham of Canyon City, opposed it.
I'm not sure what the nexus is exactly between homelessness and the approved rationale for spending this money. I think there's a stretch, bottom line.
But it does make sense for Kathy Alderman.
This is the 100 units that are going up here.
Alderman is with the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. Her group hopes to apply for a grant using marijuana money to house people who need a transitional place to live after leaving the hospital.
They basically get discharged back into homelessness without the ability to care for their health care issue. A lot of people are entering homelessness because of rising rents in Colorado. That's due to a real affordable housing crisis. So I think a use of the marijuana tax funds for housing is actually really logical.
Under Amendment 64, the first $40 million collected annually by the excise tax is directed to public school construction. But with sales continuing to go up each year, more of the additional money collected from other pot taxes is helping the state plug funding gaps. Christian Cederberg is an attorney who focuses on marijuana policy.
It's when you get really far afield that I think people are going to question it. But at the same time, I would say the most important takeaway for me this year, the legislative session, was we were a central part of the budget discussion. Instead of sort of being this, oh, well, there's the marijuana money.
In the final budget negotiations, Cederberg says everything becomes a hard decision, and marijuana taxes can continue to play a critical role. And while Senate President Kevin Grantham voted to increase the special sales tax to help rural hospitals, he doesn't want the state to rely too heavily on a volatile funding source.
We increased the special sales tax up to 15%. How is that going to affect sales? Are we going to price ourselves out of the market, or are we creating more of a gray market and black market situation here in Colorado, and we won't see any taxes from that? We have a lot of unknowns ahead of us, and we, as always, have to continue to tread carefully.
And with more states like California, Massachusetts, and Nevada legalizing recreational marijuana, those connected to the industry say Colorado will need to be innovative to keep the market growing and attractive as pot shops become more mainstream. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
President Trump's administration plans on repealing and replacing the Clean Water Rule. The move would reverse pollution protections on one-third of the nation's drinking water supply. The public comment period begins this week. Eric Gladys has this story.
The American public will have 30 days to comment on the Trump administration's plan to repeal and replace the 2015 Clean Water Rule once it's published in the Federal Register. Jan Goldman Carter with the National Wildlife Federation says the move would remove pollution limits from streams and wetlands that supply a third of the nation's drinking water, which are also home to countless fish and wildlife species.
The American public has long thought since the 1972 Act that their water is protected, their wetlands are protected, their streams are protected from pollution. None of us can really take that for granted anymore.
The Clean Water Rule restored protections under the Clean Water Act for headwater streams and wetland habitat that had been left uncertain due to convoluted U.S. Supreme Court rulings. Current EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt argues rolling back the measure will provide certainty to farmers and other businesses by returning regulatory authority to states. Carter says Western states rely on clean water to fuel their multi-billion dollar outdoor recreation industries. She points to polls which show nearly 80% of hunters and anglers favor Clean Water Act protection. Dozens of craft brewers have also come out in support of the 2015 measure. Carter says a majority of the nation's stream miles and wetland acres are at stake.
All of those smaller streams are at significant risk and then would literally be removed from Clean Water Act protections under the proposal that the administration is headed toward.
According to the Environment America Research and Policy Center, the Clean Water Rule, supported by over 80% of small business owners, was expected to generate more than $400 million annually in economic benefits. Public comments can be submitted at regulations.gov. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.